following podcast is brought to you by ComicMonsters.com, part of the Horror News Network. We warn you, be afraid, be very afraid.
Welcome, everybody, to podcast number 4 here on ComicMonsters.com. This is Decapitated Dan.
And this is Rob, the Big Bad Wolf.
And this week, we are coming to you on a Friday night. I have my beer in my hand, and I'm going to be drunk by the time we're done doing this.
As opposed to our other podcast.
Hey, Sunday mornings. I'm not drinking on a Sunday morning.
I thought you just pulled an all-nighter.
I think Dave usually does that. And Dave's not with us this week. He went to Jamaica.
Damn.
I know.
Lucky guy.
So while everyone else is off in San Diego, you and me are stuck in our homes, and he's in Jamaica.
Right.
So, all right. Well, anything over the past 2 weeks that you want to talk about real quick before we jump into this week's show?
There was the few books. I got a preview of 30 Days of Night and X-Files. I don't recall if that book was actually released yet, though. I don't recall. It may have been released last week, but that kind of happens when you get preview books. You forget when the actual release date of the real books came out. It was... I had fun reading it. I'm a big X-Files fan, and of course a big 30 Days of Night fan, and it was, I think Mulder and Scully with the X-Files in the book, I think it's kind of believable, just because the X-Files are always in, you know, they find themselves, Mulder and Scully, in all these weird situations, so I just wanted to mention that book is being, you know, definitely a pretty good crossover, and probably up for, you know, our crossover of the year award on ComicMonsters.com, and I just wanted to start out with that, and I know you had one as well that you wanted to mention.
Yeah, did you get a chance to check out Boom's The Calling of Cthulhu Tales, number one?
I did, and I liked it. I'm always a fan of the writer, and, you know, anything Cthulhu, it's going to be weird, and I try to check it out, and I thought it was a pretty good book as well. I'm looking to see what happens. I thought there were some pretty interesting things going on there with the whole ship, and the sister there mentions, you know, a bunch of people are going to die, and I thought it was pretty cool.
I'll say one thing about it, I mean, and I'm not big on the Lovecraft thing, and I'm trying to, you know, start to get into it, and it's just something I haven't read. So I read this one, and it was kind of, you know, I didn't know where it was going when it started, but by the time I got to that last page, and I swear to this, you read a horror comic book, you don't technically get scared or freaked out, but that last panel in that book freaked me out.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, for those of you that may have never read, like, the Lovecraft thing, it's more of, like, kind of a psychological type of horror, and it's weird, you're never really sure what's going on in it, just because there's so many different aspects of it, but I thought that was definitely a good start to that series, and I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, where it goes.
I've just been sent a Comic-Con update. I'm apparently on a Dark Horse banner in their booth.
Oh, that's awesome. The old head on the table,
the head,
right?
On the table, which is in a bunch of the books right now, which completely floored me. I couldn't believe that they did that.
That was awesome. I saw you in the back of a Hellboy comic I got last week, as well as one other, I think. I forget, maybe Predator?
Yeah,
right?
It was in all, from what I was told, it was in all of the Dark Horse books. So I was in Solar. That's the only other one that I can think of that came out last week. But, yeah,
that's
now
awesome.
I got to go out and buy all the damn things.
That's great. That's really cool.
And I'm sporting the Comic Monsters shirt.
That's awesome. So
you
got
to get in there.
Yeah, you definitely got to get that in there when you're decapitated. You have to be wearing a Comic Monster shirt.
That's right. So, well, that's some Comic-Con news. Anything so far that, you know, has really hit home with you that you've been reading or seen?
Regarding San Diego Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, definitely. There's one thing that I'm excited, and this is a werewolf podcast, so we'll start right here. There's a comic that's coming out. Before I mention the comic, let's talk just about a few other things that are going on at San Diego Comic-Con, because we have a lot of werewolf comics to talk about. There's, of course, the AMC panel of The Walking Dead, which we just got some breaking news on. There's going to be a few new cast members got named, as well as they had a whole bunch of actors in zombie makeup going around and just walking throughout the whole convention. So they're really pushing The Walking Dead, of course, there. And it's just, from what I've heard, Robert Kirkman's been a big attraction there, of course. And it's just been really good. The new cast members which are announced were Norman Reedus from Boondock Saints and Michael Rooker from Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. The roles weren't mentioned yet. Also, composer Bear McCreary, that does Battlestar Galactica and Eureka, has signed on. And they did have a panel, and our reporters that are out there sent us back some information. They sent us back this information, Stephanie Shambling Gray and Brian Gray. They said the trailer was shown there. It was kind of toned down a little bit to make it a little more family-friendly event, and the reaction of the crowd was huge. So it seems like The Walking Dead is totally taking over San Diego Comic-Con, as well as, you know, we thought it would be happening. In addition to that, horror has really been represented there. I know today we also got news from our reporters, again, out there, that Steve Niles and... not only Steve Niles is working on this new project, he has a few things going on, but he's actually going to be teaming with Eric Powell on something that they have coming out. This was mentioned at the Dark Horse panel. So I guess it's going to be a crossover, which I don't know how this is going to work. I never pictured these two guys hooking up, The Goon and Criminal Macabre. So Cal McDonald and The Goon, you kind of like two different worlds there, so I'm just kind of wondering how that's going to work out. What about you,
Dan? That'll be a strange one. I didn't read that. I read that Powell was going to do a Death Clock series. But
really? I missed that one myself. That sounds like it'll be pretty cool. I like him.
But I haven't seen anything on the Niles thing. I thought I had read something else about Niles doing something, but now it's completely leaving my mind. I read a little bit of that X-Men one. That they went and they said that they're going to go into more detail on how the vampires tie in, and the whole idea behind it, and this cracks me up. They said that the whole idea behind the vampires was to bring them back into the forefront of the Marvel universe, which Christmas time will be over with. But
yeah, that'll be gone. I hope it doesn't happen, but we know what's going to happen, unfortunately.
So, but no, I mean, other than that, I mean. Everyone knows. I don't know. Even with this TV show, I'm still. I've got to see it before I'm going to get excited about it. So I'm not paying that much attention to the Walking Dead news. I seen this funny video of Kirkman though earlier today. I watched the beginning of it, and they were like, "Oh, Battle Pope's coming to Comic Con," which is pretty funny because he started that. But no, I mean, other than that, nothing to me. That I've seen has really jumped out horror-wise, other than a solicitation by Arcana that I was handed for a new book coming up called Harbor Moon, which jumps it right into where we want to be with the werewolves this week.
Right, and let's werewolf fans are going to be happy about this. I was able to, and I know Dan was as well, check out a little preview of this book, and I got to say it has me pretty excited about what's going to happen, and the book is written by Ryan Colucci, and I have a little synopsis here that I could share with everyone. It goes like this. When professional soldier Timothy Vance receives information from someone claiming to be his long-lost father, he takes a trip to out-of-the-way Harbor Moon, Maine. It turns out that the man hasn't been there in 30 years, and pretty soon Tim's life is in danger. Fighting for the truth and his survival, Tim discovers that Harbor Moon is harboring a secret. The entire town is werewolves, and the man he's looking for may be just like him. Just as ruthless band of werewolf hunters descend upon the town, Tim must decide whether he is going to stay and fight or turn his back on what he really is. So that is the synopsis, and I was lucky enough, as I said, to see a previews of this book, and I gotta say, it looks quite interesting, and I'm looking forward to this book. What about you, Dan?
I got a chance, it was, I think, a 23-page preview is what I was handed, and I was told that I have a book coming in the mail as soon as Comic-Con's over, because I guess he's debuting this at Comic-Con, and it's not going to be available till October. So there is a wait on it. It isn't a comic book. It's an OGN. So you're going to get, you know, you're going to get the full story in one shot. But yeah, I mean, checking it out, the art is just awesome, and I'm not a fan of like what I like to call it, like the Temple Smith style. It's got the flashy backgrounds with the characters drawn on top of them, but I mean, I really like the way it looks. You really didn't get a hint to what was going on with the werewolves in what you're given, but yeah, I mean,
right.
it looks like it's going to be good. And I mean, I'm kind of iffy on the whole werewolf myth. I think there's the two trains of thought on it. You have the gypsy style, and then you have the Indian style. And this one, to me, kind of has the Indian Native American vibe to it, where I prefer the gypsy style.
Right, this is definitely going to be an interesting book. I know you touched on the art. It's done by a guy named Paul Sambor, and he's actually in Poland. His art, which I've never seen before, does remind me a little bit of Temple Smith, but it's also crossed with someone else who I can't quite figure out yet. But it's definitely interesting. It's definitely looks like an interesting book. And I was lucky enough to speak with Ryan Colucci for a few minutes regarding this book, and he was telling me, you know, what a passionate fan of werewolves he is, as well as he just seemed really into this project, and, you know, just for the love of the genre, is not out, you know, looking to make $1 million on it. He just wants to put out like an awesome book that people will read, and he let me in on a few other projects that he's going to be doing, and it sounds like this guy's name is going to be around. I hope people check this book out, because from the preview, I mean, this looks like a no-brainer for werewolf fans. This looks like a really fun book, and I'm excited to check out the whole thing.
You know, there's something I wanted to say real quick, because we've forgotten to mention this in the past few shows. On comicmonsters.com, we actually have lists, and we try to go through these lists because, you know, we try to bring up as many titles as we can, but we actually have lists on there of all the books that fit into all these genres that we're covering. And I know for the past couple shows we've been like, damn it, we forgot to say that at the end of the show or something. So I'm throwing it out there now that if any of these, you know, pique your interest, or you want to know of any other werewolf titles or vampire titles or zombie or slasher stuff, it's on the site, and every time, you know, a new one comes out, we get it on those lists. So, you know, it's out there to be found, and if you try to search a certain genre, it'll bring you right back to us if you do it on Google. So we do have, you know, everything. We're getting it all together, and we're presenting it to all of you. So
that's right. Go to Comic Monsters and click on the Monsters tab in the navigation, and that'll bring you to all of our Monster Wiki, as we call it.
So, let's jump right into the werewolves, and I know there's one place to start, and I'm just going to shut my mouth and let you go. Tell me about Werewolf by Night.
Well, Werewolf by Night, that is, I'm a huge werewolf fan. I think most people that know me realize this. That's probably why Comic Monsters' logo is a werewolf. I've always been a huge fan, and really the first book, and it's probably most people's first werewolf book, was, of course, Werewolf by Night by Marvel Comics. The series had a big run. You know, he was, of course, in the 70s when it was kind of Marvel's heyday for horror comics. And, you know, it was Jack Russell. Here's a guy that gets transformed into a werewolf on his 18th birthday. He's had, you know, so he's dealing with this lycanthropy. He's had many, many battles with, you know, really popular guest stars such as Moon Knight. Moon Knight actually made his debut in Werewolf by Night. He's crossed over with Brother Voodoo and Dracula, and all these were characters in his book. And the most impressive thing to me is just how the book was written and the art in the book. I mean, it was just fantastic. I mean, to make it go that long, and it could have been longer. At the end, they kind of switched up. You know, things were changing that time in Marvel. That's when the superheroes were getting into the forefront in Marvel. Comics kind of tried turning Werewolf by Night from a horror book into a superhero book, and that's, you know, they're trying to get more sales, and that's kind of what doomed it. So the series had a great run. He's such an iconic character. When you think of werewolves in comics, he's, you know, probably for 99.9% of the people, he's probably the guy that they can name first.
There was something... And, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, one thing I want to say is, you know, with werewolves, unlike the others, it's not a genre where you had a couple... to me, from what I've been able to look up, you had two main books, and you had one in the 70s, and you have one that's just ending, that's it. That's it for a long run, at least of 24 issues. Everything else
right.
is miniseries. It's miniseries after miniseries. And to me, it's a genre that just gets screwed over and over. But I also wonder how many different directions people can go with it, because to me, a lot of it comes off as the same old thing. But one thing I wanted to touch base on with Werewolf by Night was that I found out that there were 58 issues altogether over the years. So that is by far the longest running werewolf series.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, in when you think of Werewolf by Night, the one thing that I'll always remember is the art in the book. And that was done by none other than Mike Ploog. And he's such a fantastic artist, Mike Ploog. And he's definitely one of the guys that I consider, you know, it may be in the top five, if not higher, horror artists of all times. I mean, this is a guy that's worked on Werewolf by Night, Ghost Rider, Monster of Frankenstein, Man-Thing. I'm trying to think. There's probably even more horror books that he worked on that I can't think of off the top of my head. But he really did a great job on this book, and I would definitely recommend this to anyone. And it's great that Marvel has the essential books out now too, so fans could actually get these books and read through them. And as we mentioned before on here, those essential books are, I think, maybe $20.
At a show, you can get them for half off or less. But it is impossible to find the first volume, which I missed the first time it came out, and I have not found it yet.
Wow. There's great stuff in there, and it's probably why, you know, it's hard to get. A lot of people were looking for it. I mean, it's definitely such a fun book. I mean, there's so many crossovers. I mean, his battles with Dracula actually went, one of his fights with Dracula was in Werewolf by Night. The other fight was in Tomb of Dracula, and it was kind of like, one, it came out 1 month after the other. So it was pretty cool to see them cross over in each other's books, and it was really good. I mean, the series was really solid, and if you want to start anywhere, Werewolf fans, it's in Werewolf by Night. There were a few books that have come out recently of Werewolf by Night that were okay, and I would definitely recommend, like checking them out and, just taking a look, seeing what you like. There's a lot of different stuff out there. And, a lot of different kind of incarnations of Werewolf by Night. And one thing I wanted to ask you, Dan, is with Werewolf by Night, he's one of the, I think, few werewolves that I can remember off the top of my head, and maybe the only werewolf, trying to think. But, you know, when it comes to werewolves, you have the wolf man,
mm-hmm.
and then you have, like, the werewolf.
Right.
Howling style. Which do you prefer seeing?
Now, I like seeing the howling style, you know, the actual
right.
the wolf. But yeah, that was
right.
something I was actually going to mention as soon as you stopped talking. Was
oh, I'm
this,
sorry, I
no,
can talk forever.
No, sorry. That's perfectly fine. It's the fact that this is one of the only ones that you'll actually see where he's the classic wolfman.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's, you know, and it throws it in with Marvel's, you know, 70s throwback to the classic monsters. But yeah, it's amazing to me that no one else really jumps on this. Everyone wants that big, badass werewolf. But this is the only one that really does this, and I applaud them for it to still work today. Except if you read Frankencastle, where they destroyed the look of every single monster.
Oh, man.
What they did to Morbius was just a joke, but yeah, I mean, to me, I really like it, and I wish it was something. Isn't he one of the only werewolves in comics that actually turns every full moon?
Well, that's the thing. Like different, different writers kind of take the thing of that. But in the early Werewolf by Night thing, yes, that was it. That was definitely his shtick. You know, the full moon, the full moon's coming. You got to get out of there. And but that's it. You know, Werewolf by Night also, as you said, has like two different. He's been drawn two different ways. So one is the classic Wolfman. The other's the kind of more howling werewolf type. And I always prefer the more werewolf types. I remember he had some crossovers in Moon Knight's series, which was just great. Those are fantastic books, and it really, kind of solidified him as more of like a bigger, stronger, savage werewolf. So one of my favorite issues of Werewolf by Night has to be Werewolf by Night number 31. And in this is actually the issue right before Moon Knight appears. And in this issue, it's a standalone issue, and it's so powerful. What it's about, Werewolf by Night, as Jack Russell and his friend go up to this ski lodge with their girlfriends. And Jack Russell's friend, his girlfriend, has a little daughter. And there starts to be all these warnings about heavy, heavy blizzard coming. And so the blizzard hits, and that's the night Jack Russell has to go out because it's the full moon. So Jack Russell has to leave everyone. He goes as far away from everyone as he can simply because he doesn't want to hurt anyone. He has no control over his werewolf form. And Jack Russell's friend, the little girl, somehow gets out, gets lost in this blizzard. So Werewolf by Night stumbles upon this girl. Now, meanwhile, they find out the girl's missing. There's a big search party that goes out and tries to find her. So Jack Russell's friend is there, and he sees Werewolf by Night getting ready to attack this girl. So the friend intervenes, and Werewolf by Night almost kills his friend, and he puts his friend in a hospital for a few issues. And so it was a really powerful issue, simply because you see Werewolf by Night getting ready to attack this little girl, just how savage, you know, this werewolf creature is, and he almost kills his best friend in the issue. So it was a really powerful issue, and I definitely recommend, you know, everyone to check that out. It was just a really solid book, and, you know, just like the whole series of Werewolf by Night, you know, final issues there, you could say, where Werewolf by Night starts to talk, and he's teaming up with Iron Man. The whole series, I think, was a success, and I wish more werewolf series would try to emulate that.
Was this one of your favorite series growing up?
It definitely was, just because, you know, I was always a huge werewolf fan, and this was, you know, and the sad thing is it's almost pretty much to this day, you know, but, you know, 30, 40 years later, the only thing, you know, the main werewolf title, as you were saying, you know, when we started. So this was definitely one of my favorite series growing up.
Well, let's move on to the other one then. I mean, the other one that's gone at least 20 issues was Astounding Wolfman. I'd never read a single issue of it.
Yeah, the Astounding Wolfman, written by Robert Kirkman, that, you know, it starts off kind of like, you know, a classic werewolf tale does. A guy's on vacation with his family and gets bit by a werewolf, which turns him into a werewolf. The main character is Gary Hampton. But the thing about the Astounding Wolfman, he kind of dons like a costume and becomes like a superhero almost. That was kind of a turnoff to me. I know it was like a different spin on the werewolf kind of things, and I know there are a bunch of people that like it. It just didn't work for me. I mean, I didn't want to see like a werewolf teaming up with, you know,
Invincible
heroes.
And
I mean, some things I thought were cool in the book, but it was just like a superhero book that's a werewolf. I mean, I guess it was all right. You know, there are some things that are cool about this story, but, you know, I like my werewolves to be feared. I guess that's the best thing. That's the best thing to say, I think.
Well, another one that I remember from growing up, and I remember when I first got back into comics, it was one of the first things I was like, I'm finally going to own that, and I'm going to read it. And it was the Catwolf storyline.
Yeah.
It was called, actually, Man and Wolf, and it ran from Captain America 402 to 408. And I knew I had to touch base on this, and I was looking at them again last night, and I was just like, oh, good God, why the hell did I touch these?
I do remember that. I remember Werewolf by Night was in it. That's one of the reasons I bought the book. I also think Wolfsbane from X-Factor or
Wolverine
whatever
was
the
in
group
it. Man-Wolf, which was John Jameson.
Yep.
And it was, I don't know, it was just this weird mix where Captain America had to, was it he injected himself to become a werewolf to fight? I don't know. I remember as a kid, I saw those covers, and I was like, wow, I've got to check that out. And then looking back on them last night, I was like, it'll just stay in the box at this point.
Crazy, the whole Catwolf.
Well, you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going in and out on me. Hold on. Let me throw.
Another really cool werewolf story, although we never got to see it finish, it started out great, was Willow Creek. And this was a story that we first reported on. It had to be, I'm thinking, 2 or 3 years ago. And this was a story written by Denny Williams and Christian Baranek. And it was this, you know, unfortunately, when Josh got sick, the book never got finished. So it's still kind of in a on-hold state, but I know that they want to get back to this. And Willow Creek followed a police officer that left New York to go to this town in California called Willow Creek. A bunch of murders happened in this town, and the cop, Deacon McKay, he starts to uncover something to do with the legend of Bigfoot up there. So it kind of, although we never got the whole story, Josh Metters are, I don't think there's anyone out there that could do a better werewolf than Josh Metters. I absolutely love his art, and especially his werewolf art. So this was definitely a title that I was pumped up to get. Unfortunately, Josh got sick when this happened, and they didn't get a chance to finish it, but the series really was looking like it was going to be one of those great series. I'm hoping to see it finished one day, and I just think it would be a really good thing for horror fans.
It was. I mean, I remember, because that was like about the time I got back into comics, and I was when I was starting to really get into the horror thing, and that's when that first one came out, and I grabbed number zero as well. But yeah, it was something that really looked like it had that potential, and the look of it and feel of it to me was like 30 Days of Night with vampires.
With bright red werewolves, right.
It has this great feel to it, and it's really, really shitty that Josh did get sick. And, you know, we've done benefits for him, and there's been a lot, but I mean, there's still, I think they're doing another one this year. I mean, so hopefully, you know, things can work out.
I hope so. He's definitely a great guy, and you know, I would love to see more of that book.
So let's talk about a werewolf book that actually took a different turn, and that is 13 Steps by Desperado.
Right,
For people who haven't actually checked this one out, and this one is one that I really liked because every now and then you want something different that has a different feel to it, and this is one where a guy is a werewolf, and he has no one to talk to about it. You know, everything's coming apart for him and stuff like that. So he actually joins a 13-step program, and instead of, it's been a little while, but instead of actually, you know, going into him being a werewolf because that would just freak people out, he actually says he's like an alcoholic or a drug addict. And he goes and you know, into the program, and he relates his problems to these people. It's very different, and it was original. It was a different take on it. He still ends up killing people and being a werewolf, but I mean, it was different. It was a lot of fun.
Right, I do remember that book being different. I thought the art was pretty cool in it. It was definitely a different take on werewolves, and that's pretty fun to have every now and then. I thought it was good, and it's not up on the top of my werewolf list by any means, but it was definitely a fun book to check out.
So, I could keep running down my list.
I got
a lot here. You go. We'll go back and forth. What's next on yours?
That sounds good. Well, here's something I'm not sure if you ever got a chance to check out, Dan. And this, I'm ashamed to say, I left off my list. But as we started this podcast, I added it on here. I'm just trying to see if I missed it, and it wasn't on my list. Shame on me. But Welcome to Hoxford. Did you ever get a chance to check that out, Dan?
I read the first issue, and I would have never guessed that was werewolf related.
That I wouldn't have guessed it either in the first issue. But it was werewolf related. Basically, what it is, a bunch of prisoners have to battle against werewolves in a privately run prison. And this is done by Ben Templesmith. He does everything on it, the writing, the art. So basically what it is, it's run by this warden, and there's basically the entire prison staff transforms into werewolves, and they hunt the prisoners. So that was definitely an interesting take. And, you know, from reading the first issue and reading the synopsis and stuff of the book coming out, you would have no idea it had to do with werewolves. But it was really, really interesting take. And I think there's even, talks of it, like every cool comic, you know, nowadays talks of it being, you know, a movie or something like that in the future. But I thought it was pretty cool. It follows, like, Ray Delgado. He's kind of, like, the main character. He has lots of mental health issues. There are, like, all type of creeps in this. In the prison, there's like pedophiles and rapists and murderers and cannibals and it's these you're almost like rooting for these demented people against these werewolves. It's definitely an interesting read. I would recommend picking that up to anyone checking it out.
I gotta say right now that I'm gonna go read that because I'm dead serious. I read that first issue, and it to me seemed like, well, you got inmates, not the inmates, I'm sorry, the people who worked for the prison, they were just, you know, killing these killers.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, that is just so different than, wow, now I really am going to go read that now. Unbelievable.
Well, that's good.
All right.
It's a cool book.
Well, the next one on my list is actually someone that the Comic Monsters fans voted not only best artist and best inker of the year, Rob Brown's book, Bane of the Werewolf. And I have nothing but high praise for this book, and I don't want to go too deep into it, but, I mean, to me, this was such a throwback to a classic 70s, 60s style story. It was one of those full of stories that the art was there just to supplement the story. I mean, it was fantastic. It followed the story of, and I asked him to tell me how to pronounce this guy's name, too. And I'm just going to say Eliphas Moreau.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't like it, well, then he can bring it up with me because I talk to him all the time. But what sucks about this is there's only been one issue so far. Mm-hmm. But it was a beautifully drawn book. It was, the story was rich and deep, and it followed that gypsy line that I talked about. I really like the gypsy idea because I like the idea of the curse more than the idea of the animal spirit that you get with, like, the Native American style stories that I'm sure we're going to touch base on a little later with some of the others. But to me, this one really stood out, and I know a lot of people, and I get a lot of emails from the same people all the damn time going, what's going on with it? What's going on with it? And then I had to go to Rob, and I had to be like, what's going on with it? And it's just, there's him having the time to do it, and, you know, just, he really wants to deliver on this because this is his baby. Mm-hmm. So, what'd you think?
Right.
What'd you think of Bane?
I loved that book. I absolutely loved it. The first thing that I thought of when seeing that is Hammer horror. I mean, I absolutely love it. Like, it has that whole feel, and just everything about the book is just a fantastic, fantastic werewolf book. And I really hope that he's able to deliver the rest of the series, because there actually was, I think, synopsis or... I forget where I saw it. It could have been on Silver Phoenix website, or maybe it was in the back of the first issue, talking about future issues, like all these other kind of monsters that he's going to be fighting. And it was just a fantastic book. I love the art. It was just like fantastic savagery, and it was great. Gypsies and werewolves battling other monsters. It was like it was a Hammer horror fan's wet dream.
And for those who don't know much about what Rob's about and stuff like that, if you find him on Facebook, look at what he sets up with when he goes to conventions. I mean, he is nonstop all about horror. And in October, we're going to actually have a Tomb of Bloke, Bane of Werewolf crossover in the Tomb of Bloke annual from Virus Comics, which... I talk to both of them all the time, and neither of them bothered to tell me about this, and I was pissed off at both of them, and they both listen to this, so they're both going to love this little plug I'm giving them. But that's coming up. He's still working on number two. Hopefully he'll jump on the boards and give us some updates. But yeah, I mean, it was unbelievable. The talent of artists that we actually had up for the Artist of the Year and the Anchor of the Year awards, and you guys all voted for him to be, you know, number one in that category, which just speaks volumes to how great this book is.
I have to agree. I mean, there were even tons of great artists that I feel got left off of the ballots just because they were full. And it's great to see an indie guy get that kind of recognition, and I really hope that he puts out more of this book. It'd be awesome.
So what's next on your list, my friend?
Next on my list is something that was published by Dead Dog Comics by, I think I could call Mark Kidwell, a good buddy of mine. And Mark Kidwell is a hardcore horror guy. Mark really does anything that's not related to horror. I mean, he's worked on a bunch of Dead Dog stuff. We talked about his work in the last podcast, the Slasher podcast with Bump. This is a book, a werewolf book called Curse of the Blood Clan. And this kind of reminds me of maybe like an updated version of The Howling, almost. I'm actually lucky enough to own an original piece of art from this. And what it has to do is there's actually, I'll read the synopsis here. Runaways are disappearing in record numbers from the nightlight streets of New York City. One such casualty is Sarah Bale. Retired Sheriff Bale recruits his adopted son, Jax, along with his tabloid reporter girlfriend, to learn the truth of Sarah's disappearance, a grim truth hidden in the flickering grain of violent snuff videotape. In the static shadows, Jax Bale will uncover the existence of an ancient clan of mythical evil. He'll risk everything he loves to witness the impossible, and when the screaming begins, he will believe. So this is a kind of a hardcore werewolf tale where a bunch of kids get murdered, and it has to do with like snuff tapes, and they have to go try to figure out who's doing all this, and it leads them to werewolves, and it's really cool. Mark Kidwell's style is always fun to look at, and you know, he wrote it as well, so I mean, I like everything Mark Kidwell does. He always puts forth a really good effort. I mean, he's a guy that truly, truly loves horror. I mean, he lives it and breathes it. And I can't wish enough success for the guy. He's a really great guy. And his book, Curse the Blood Clan, I wish more people got a chance to see it. You know, Dead Dog, unfortunately, you know, went through some problems, where they ended up kind of just going over into Cryptic Magazine. So not many people got to check that out. But Curse of the Blood Clan is definitely a werewolf comic that should be checked out.
Even Cryptic Magazine, God, I've gotten my hands on two of those. That is one of those things that you just wish was still available to you.
Right. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I mean, they had Dead Dog had a bunch of great titles there for a while, fun horror titles that were unfortunate.
They got they even have one of the a really great werewolf cover with one of their and they're kind of like Avatar. They had a couple different covers for Horror Show Number 1.
Yep.
They had a great werewolf cover for one of those.
Speaking of that werewolf cover, that werewolf cover is hanging up.
Oh, that's the one you got
right now. Josh Metters. Josh Metters, man. I mean, I don't think there's any better drawn a werewolf than him, and I was lucky enough to grab that one.
Oh, man. And don't think that is an easy series to find. I have the first issue, and that is it. That is the only thing I've been able to find.
Yeah, it's very tough. I mean, those guys, the best way, a while ago to get their books was at cons. Unfortunately, I don't even know if they're selling anymore, if they have anymore, whatever. But, I mean, I think that'd be good to find out. Maybe I could try to track the guy down that does that and see if he has any more laying around, and we'll see what we could come up with.
So my next one that I have on my list is I've already said on the Vampire show, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I could honestly dedicate an entire show to this, but I have to talk about Brian Baugh's Wolf and Batsy.
Oh, yes.
Because I honestly think that the originality behind it, and it's such a mix of so many different things, and I think in the reviews, I really try to say it's like, what if Casper met the biggest R-rated movie you've ever seen?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you read Volume 2, The Lustmord Nightmares?
You know what? I think I may have. I've been reading his stuff for so long, and I've always been a huge fan. I mean, I've been reading his stuff when I got like a paper pamphlet of it from Chanting Monks Press. I mean, it wasn't even like a comic, and I went through, I was like, holy shit, who is this guy? I mean, this stuff needs to be put out, and it's such a fun book. I mean, it's horror, but it's horror in like a light way, but there's still like gore and stuff
in there.
Oh, there's
so much gore in it. It's unbelievable.
It's hard to explain, but it's such a fun comic.
It's honestly, like I said, you take a a Casper book or a Richie Rich book, and then have the most violent serial killer go in there and kill Richie Rich.
Right.
I mean, it's the way he writes it. It's very fun and it's upbeat. I mean, the second volume, which came out a couple months ago, and this is the reason I want to do it mostly on the independent thing, is because he doesn't have a publisher or anything. He does it all himself. He does it in his own time. He does it for the love of what he's doing. And you're getting this story that is just I guess I gotta start with the first volume, which had Wolf and Batsy. She's the vampire, he's the wolf. They're looking for a new home, looking for a place to live, and then the trouble that they find along the way. But then in the second volume, which just came out, they're kind of like at a difference because, he's like, oh, I love you. And she's like, oh, no, we're just friends and all this other crap that goes along with it. But, I mean, it splits off so damn well. And you get the points in it where it's just like, it's what you expect. You expect a little choppy of a story, but it fits what he's doing so damn well.
Right.
You expect that there's plot holes. There are, but it fits so damn well. That's the reason this is the only book that I've ever reviewed that's gotten the 5 out of 5. Because to me, it is just that damn solid. So if you're looking, and I think he draws one of the best werewolves that I've ever seen, even though it's very cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I could go on for days and days and days and days talking about how much I love Wolf and Batsy, because I think that you have a person, like you said, with Kidwell, who is in love with the genre, and he is doing what he loves no matter what the mainstream is telling him.
Right, right. And guys like that don't come around too often, and that book is really something that people should check out.
And it's one of the things that really suck. It's one of the things that really suck because... I'm really starting to notice this, and I'm really starting to pick up on the trend. In America, you're fed what they want you to read. If for God knows, if one Deadpool book sells 1,000 copies, and I know that's low, but I'm just using it as an example. If a Deadpool book sells 1,000,000 copies, or God, I don't. Now I'm too drunk. If it sells a good amount of copies, you know, they're going to give you 10 more Deadpool books.
Right,
they just
right.
announced that he's going to be in the new Uncanny X-Force. I'm sorry, what?
I know.
He doesn't have enough books? Just kiss my ass, Marvel. But
shoving it down your throat,
exactly.
Right?
They're giving America what they want. In Europe, you get what they want.
Right.
You get what Giovanni Regano has drawn. You get that. And that's what it needs to be. You need to be given something and said, hey, this is awesome. I'm going to check this out. And that's what sucks about our genre. Our genre is pushed to the fact where, you know, well, Twilight's popular. Here's some vampires. Come on. Seriously? You know,
it's all about money, man.
It is.
It's all about
it
money.
Is.
And they feel like they could cash in, and that's what they're doing.
Yep. And that's what sucks. But now I'm way off track, so you go ahead with your next book.
All right. My next book is called Thicker Than Blood. And a lot of people may have missed this book. It came out back in late 2007. And it's the reason I picked up this book was twofold. One, of course, a werewolf on the cover. I'm going to get that no matter what.
Number two is Mike Ploog.
Mike Ploog again, of course. Of course I'm going to get that. Mike Ploog on another werewolf book. I mean, I was so excited. And going into this book, the first issue I thought was kind of slow. And I believe it only lasted 3 issues because it was a miniseries. But what we have is it's sort of like another Hammer horror type of film. It's kind of like a period piece of, you know, as you'd see like those old Hammer horror films, and I love that. And it's such a really fun book. And what we have is one brother turned into a werewolf, another brother turned into like a Jekyll and Hyde type creature, and they go at it in a third issue, and it's fun, and it's Mike Ploog. And that's all I have to say about that book. That's all you should have to say about a book.
I'll throw the other two names in, Simon Reed and Simon Beisley.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are great as well. I mean, it's, you know, that's a book that people have to check out. It's kind of hard to find, but
yes, it's
really worth it.
Full circle
yeah.
is a European title, so it is hard to find. And I do know a place where people can get them. So please, you know, if you are listening to us at this point and you really are interested in this stuff, don't be afraid to shoot me or Rob an email, because we do know people who can get these for you. They're online, and, you know, one of them's the guy I get my comics from, and he finds some hard stuff to find for me. So
that's cool. This is one people want to check out. It's so fun. I mean, the colors and the covers are just freaking fantastic on this book. I mean, really, I want, like, I just want everybody, if you get a chance, just to check out the covers on this book and tell me if it doesn't remind you of Hammer Horror.
I started reading that actually last night.
Oh, really? What's your thoughts?
I really wanted to cover it for the show. I got through 1 and 2. Number 1 is very werewolf based.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that one was, it was really good. Like you said, the art, you can't beat the art. And even the story. The story is, I like it because you got the one brother trying to help the other brother. Then you get into number 2, and I hadn't, like I said, I have these in my collection. I had not had a chance to actually read them, which is sad that I don't actually have time to read 3 fucking issues. But but I actually, you know, I finally sat down and I was like, all right, I'm going to do this for the werewolf show, god damn it, all right. But yeah, I sat down, I liked number 1 a lot. Number 2, I was surprised that, just based on the cover I had for number 3, that it wasn't a vampire, that he was more like a Mr. Hyde type of monster.
Right, right.
And I really loved it. I can't wait to finish number 3. I really had hoped to finish it before we started tonight, but no, I didn't get a chance to.
What's next on, what do you have next on your list?
Next on my list, I have actually a one-shot from 1988.
Holy crap, I hope.
And it is Werewolf 3D. Come on, you got a copy of that. You got a copy of that from Blackthorn Comics.
Werewolf 3D. Yeah, it's been a long time. That's all I have to say.
I pulled this one out of a 25-cent box. I didn't get the 3D glasses with it. Luckily, I had the 3D glasses from an episode of Chuck that I watched.
Oh, look at you.
But
now, if I remember correctly, isn't this the one that has like the pentagram on the moon or something like
yep.
that?
It sure does. Yep. This is one of those that's based off of the curse idea, where if you get scratched, whatnot, and stuff like that. But it is so 80s, and it is so much fun. That's the only reason I'm bringing it up. And actually, Blackthorn had a very short werewolf run in the 80s, towards the end of the 80s. And I've got one of those issues, and it's good. But this is the one that if you can actually find, I really say check this out. You got the guy, and you got the big-titted girl that's with him in the 80s, and you know, they're like, oh yay, we're having fun, but all of a sudden here comes his friend and he's like, oh no, something happened to me. You know, and he's got to lock him up, and then he ends up getting the curse from him. And it's the art is fantastic, and I'm talking, if even if you don't have the glasses, you can still read it, because those old 3D books are kind of weird, but yeah, it was so different in just terms of, you know, a small company producing something that was really solid. It was a solid story, and it was it's 48 pages, but it's very 80s movie-like. You know, not Howling 1, but maybe one of the other Howlings. No, well, some of those were shitty, so I don't know if I should say that.
That's true.
But,
Well, next on my list is Big Bads. Now, this was a book that I'm not even sure ever finished. I do remember reading the first issue, and I thought it was really fun. I liked the concept, because what it did is it brought werewolves into the inner cities. It took place in a housing project. If I remember correctly, an animal control officer goes and he finds something isn't right. Him and this officer, it's a former cop, they find out that there's people being murdered, and basically it's werewolves in the hood, but not kind of like a leprechaun in the hood. It's not,
you mentioned it.
You know, it's not like that. It's like, it's just like an urban werewolf story. Now, I can't recall for the life of me if it finished. It was put up by Platinum Studios. I'm trying to think. I only remember getting the first issue. Maybe I got a second one, but I know it just wasn't a one-shot. I'll have to look into that a little more and do some research, but I'm pretty sure that Big Bass was not a one-shot. I'm trying to see how many issues it was. Yeah, I guess it was a four-issue series. I'm checking out something on the web right now.
It was. All I see is one issue that came out.
Maybe the other three didn't come out. But yeah, it was pretty cool. It was about, you know, inner city, werewolves in the inner city. And I thought that was a cool spin on it. I thought it was something, because we always think of, you know, werewolves can't hurt us unless we're out in the woods or in a cabin or, you know, someplace like this. This brings a creature that we're not accustomed to seeing in that area. So I thought that was pretty cool. And did you ever get a chance to check that out, Dan?
I have the first one, but it's one of those books that's just sitting there that I haven't checked out.
Okay.
But your mention of, you know, the inner city and stuff like that, I mean, that kind of pushes into a book that has that more Indian base to it, which is Strange Ways by Matt Maxwell.
Yep.
And
right.
He sent me a copy of that, and I reviewed it for the site and everything. And I really liked it for it having the more, you know, spiritual reason behind it. And if you don't know what that is, God, I even hate to mention this, but even the Twilight series touches on this. And maybe that's the whole unattractiveness to it for me. I understand your two styles. I understand your gypsy style with the curse and all that. And then I understand your Native American Indian style where you have the whole, related to animals. You have animal instincts and stuff like that. But I really don't like the werewolves being based off of that. But I will say that Strange Ways was basically like a Western meets werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
And it really worked. It really did. I thought it was really good. I really liked the way it went. It was wasn't it more like the werewolves are protecting people or something like that? Or gosh, it has been a little while since I read that. Now that I think about it.
Yeah. It was it was basically, you know, as you were saying, it starts off. I think in like 1868, it's an officer was trying to get out of the Civil War. And he gets like a letter from his sister or his wife, and then he's attacked by I think it's a werewolf, and that's kind of like how the whole thing starts down there.
Yeah, I mean, and Matt's even done a couple other spinoffs on it, and it's I like the take. Don't get me wrong, I like the take. I like the mix of the Western idea. You're taking a people who are, you know, being pushed off their land and stuff like that. So to give them the mythical power, I really like that idea. But, you know, with, and I don't know if you're going to touch base on Moonstone's Call of the Werewolves or not. I just don't like the idea of, you know what it reminds me of? It's a freaking Mortal Kombat thing where he was a dragon because that was his spirit amp.
Right.
And that to me, I don't like that. So that's kind of what it is to me.
Yeah, it's an interesting book though. It definitely has its own kind of spin on things. I thought for that kind of came out in a while there where there weren't that many werewolf books.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good, you know, pickup to get if you're a werewolf fan, I think. And you know, you were talking about like kind of a Western type thing. Speaking of that, the next thing I have on my list is High Moon by David Gallagher and Steve Ellis. That was a werewolf comic, you know, that features a bounty hunter, Matt McGregor, and he's investigating a series of weird things going on in Texas, and the nights are haunted by werewolves. And this guy turns into basically a werewolf hunter, and it's really good. It's really good series that I thought mixes. It was a Zooda comic winner, so you know those guys got a lot of publicity from that, and I thought it was really deserving. I really enjoyed the comic in itself, and I just think it's really, really cool to check out if you're into werewolves.
I don't really have a lot more on my list. One I want to talk about real quick is Night by Jester Press.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that as well. Troy Hasbrook.
And that's basically... Now, I've only read one issue. And from what I've been able to gather, it's basically like a more of like a horror detective thing, kind of like an X-Files thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm wrong, you just stop me. I don't care at this point.
Well, what it is... It basically follows, I have a few of the issues. You are right, it follows a detective. She's an FBI agent, and, you know, she's going around, and she meets up with David Skinner, who's a werewolf, and they team up, and that's kind of what it is. So these guys go around, and I think Sabrina is actually turned into a vampire, if I remember correctly. I'm trying to. It's been so long, but I want to say that they're like a vampire and werewolf type of team. But there is some really interesting, creatures in here, as well as one of the villains, which I think is really cool, is a woman named Bathory, and it's like a take on Elizabeth Bathory. So, there's zombies in the book. There's all types of creatures, and it's really a fun read.
One thing I'm going to touch base on real quick, because I posted on Facebook that we were going to do werewolves tonight. And if I don't mention this, they're going to kill me. Ken and Buzz are Living Corpse Buddies. Numbers 5 and 6 with the Modern Prometheus story actually have the Bride of Frankenstein turning into a werewolf.
Yes, that's an awesome issue. And I love Ken and Buzz's art. And that issue was so cool because the Bride of Frankenstein got bit and you weren't sure if she was going to die or not. Next thing you know, she rises up as a werewolf. And that was really awesome. I thought it was a great issue.
What sucked was that kind of ended the series for him.
Yeah.
But I do happen to know that we have some good stuff on the horizon.
That sounds good.
But
I'm always up for that.
All right, so moving on from there, there's one actual series that seems to gain a little popularity, which kind of drives off of the Anita Blake fame, which is the Patricia Briggs, Mercy Thompson storyline.
Yep.
And I have not... I've read one of them when they were going through Devil Brothers, but all God, that just went to hell. So I don't really know what's going on now with that series.
Yeah, you know, Mercy Thompson is... I think I have one or two issues as well, simply because it crosses over... with the whole, you know, werewolf type of thing. There's werewolves in this world, and this woman, Mercy Thompson, I guess she's like an auto mechanic, and she's also able to turn into, like, I guess a were-coyote type of thing. And what she does is she, like, battles with the werewolves, as well as, like, other types of creatures that are out there. But, you know, it's definitely an interesting take. I know this, of course, started as a book from Mercedes Thompson series, and that is probably where it gets 90% of its fan base. You know, this is seeing the success that, you know, kind of like, you know, you mentioned like Anita Blake type things have been seeing. So it definitely does have, you know, its whole werewolf spins in there. They're pretty decent. Something else we have to mention, because he's pretty popular, and there was talks of a movie, unfortunately that stalled, is Bubba, everyone's favorite redneck werewolf. I mean, here's a werewolf, you know, story that's pure comedy. If you're, you know, fans of The Howling, this probably isn't going to be your thing, but Bubba the Redneck Werewolf has, you know, it has quite its own, you know, fan base, without a doubt. You know, basically it follows the character of Bubba and his adventures. And for a while there, that was going to be slated to be a movie by, you know, starring Sid Haig as Bubba.
No.
Yes, but that...
Oh, that would have been awesome.
It actually fell through, unfortunately, and it didn't happen, but I hear we may get some more Bubba. You know, you may get like an issue or two, you know, every year or every 2 years. So hopefully we'll see something soon.
Off the top of your head, who is it? Because I can't think of it right now. Who produces Bubba?
Well, Bubba's actually done now by Scare Tactic Graphics.
That's it. Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
I've gotten my hands on two issues. So, I mean, it's one of those series, I mean, and a lot of these that we've been talking about, they're not easy to find.
Right.
Which sucks. I mean, this is a genre that, if you're looking at your main horror stuff, and I think we might have jumped the gun on the slashers a week ago, just to be honest, but you're looking at your main horror genres. You got zombies, vampires, and werewolves.
Right.
And someday we might see mummies. Or
I know that would be something. I mean, I can't even remember.
I can't even think of what you'd even come up with a mummy, or maybe maybe the Black Lagoon.
Are you challenging me?
Oh, you got something? What do you got?
I don't know, but I know I can put together some shit for Mummy Podcast. So next week, check out our Mummy Podcast.
Oh, don't listen to him. We're not doing Mummy next week. It'll be 10 seconds long. It'll be like, there's nothing. See you next week.
You know, before we cut out, there's just a few more things I want to mention. Nightwolf was a series put out by Devil's Due, which was a pretty cool werewolf series with great art. This guy, Davy Doyle, turns into a werewolf. He has a family curse type of thing. And it's pretty vicious series. That's pretty cool. I'm actually going through our monster wiki on comic monsters now and clicked werewolf.
What about In the
and
Blood?
I came up, yeah, there's...
Steve Niles.
You know, yeah, definitely. I mean, how could we...
That was another one of those Josh Matters books where we got one, but then it kind of did. You know, kind of stopped.
Right. Unfortunately, you know, that's the case. I mean, there was tons of promotion for that book for quite some time. And I really hope Josh, you know, gets better and he's able to come out with these books because that would really, really be a good thing. I mean, there's also Spooks, for those of you that may not have read it. It's kind of like a horror, if I could kind of sum it up, it'd be like horror crossing over with G.I. Joe. So it's like this group of, this military group, and what they do is they go out and they battle against, you know, werewolves and vampires and things that go bump in the night. And one badass werewolf in there was Johann Sumner. He's this huge werewolf that's over 7 feet tall who hates humans. And he's just a vicious, vicious killer. And, you know, in addition to that, there are a few other things I have on my list here just for a quick mention. I know Batman and Superman has some crossing over lately with, you know, with werewolves in their series that they have.
There was a Werewolves on the Moon versus vampires from Dark Horse.
There was. You know, I wish... I mean, that was kind of like a cartoony type of thing. I mean, it wasn't really what I was hoping for. I was hoping it to be this big, huge battle, and it was a big battle, but it just wasn't. That one actually didn't do it for me. It wasn't one of my favorites, but, you know, I'm trying to see what else we have here. We talked about that.
There's a werewolf in the Darkstalkers books from Udon.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I've done one review on the Udon books. It's if you've played the games, that's what you get.
Exactly.
And to me, I mean, the artwork is just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But the story you get is it's what you'd expect to see after you took your character and won the game.
Right. Exactly. There's also I can't forget about this Sam Keith. Back in, I think it was the 90s, did kind of a crossover with Batman with his werewolf character called Scratch, and he was like this big werewolf. So that was a really cool book as well. I believe that was just a mini series. But that was definitely, you know, a fun book. I'm just taking a look at some other.
There was the Werewolves Call of the Wild series, which was a 3-issue mini from Moonstone, and Moonstone also did a monster series where they did a 1-shot of werewolves.
Right. There was also for those of you that are into you know, the role-playing type gaming. Werewolf the Apocalypse, a while back Moonstone published some of them with the different clans, so those were very interesting as well. I mean, if you like that kind of stuff, that would, you know, definitely recommend checking that out. And I don't know, I think that may be all that I have here for the werewolf category.
It sucks now that we make the list, I tell you. We cover it all.
We do. You know what? What about, I think we forgot to mention Lincoln Hates Werewolves. You know,
oh, God, yeah, we did.
Jesus Hates Zombies, Lincoln Werewolves. There was, you know, some werewolves in there, and Abe Lincoln had to do his thing. But yeah, that's it. I mean, I think we pretty much did a good job covering these things today, buddy.
I can't complain. But now I've had, like, two of these steel reserves put in me, and I'm way past gone. That's the great thing. We should do these on Fridays.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, right? Have a pizza, a few brews, and you're all set.
And have your groceries delivered to you.
That's right. That's what it's all about.
So, yeah, that's a great place to stop. So, for ComicMonsters.com, this is Decapitated Dan.
And this is Rob, the Big Bad Wolf.
And we thank you for listening to our werewolf podcast. And you know what? I'm tired of all of you asking me what's coming next. I'm not even going to tell you. You're going to have to tune in 2 weeks, and you're going to have to find out on your own. So I will talk to you then.
Take it easy, guys. Thanks for listening.